Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Associated General Contractors Build Alaska podcast. Sitting down today with Skeet Black with Zenith American Solutions. How are you doing today, Skeet?
I'm doing great, Bronson. Thanks for having me here.
Well, welcome. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. You've got an experience that's pretty unique in the construction industry here in our state, and so I'd like to just open up the discussion and ask you a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and what kind of background do you have in construction?
Oh, that's great. So I was actually born here in Anchorage. I grew up in Spinard, and I grew up in Spinard in the 70s. So for people who've been here that long, that means something.
right?
Yeah. It was very different from what it is today. Today, it's kind of a nice place to live. Back then, it was still a great place to live, but this certainly came with its challenges.
A little different.
Yeah, a little bit different back then, for sure. Mm-hmm. My family owned construction companies all through the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
The first construction company up here that my family owned, and what brought my dad and my mom up to the state, was John Wayne Construction Company. And
okay.
It's kind of funny because people, you know, it's not John Wayne, it's John Dash Wayne. It was two guys, John Pilardi and Wayne.
Oh, and really?
I remember Wayne's last name, actually, who started the company.
Interesting.
And so they started a general contracting company. It was very heavily focused around concrete and
okay.
mostly curb and gutter.
All right.
So, my earliest memory of construction, actually, believe it or not, is I think I was around six or seven, maybe, and I was I went to the job with my dad for whatever reason that day, and mm-hmm. ended up falling asleep on the bench seat of his pickup truck. Right?
Oh, nice.
I remember it was an old Ford truck, and you know, I had done whatever I was doing that morning with him, and he was like, "Hey, you need to sit in here and wait." And of course, I got bored and fell asleep. And
uh-huh.
So I have memories like that when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10, maybe. I was in the shop sweeping the floor of the shop, you know, making sure it was kept clean, and
right,
getting yelled at by the mechanic, you know, because he was like, "What are you doing here?" So I'm trying to clean the shop.
Right on. So you literally grew up around it.
Literally grew up around it. Yeah, and heavy concrete, right? Heavy
okay.
curb and gutter construction. These were big, you know, big curb machines and big trucks and. That was
every kid's dream. Grow up around heavy equipment.
It was, you know, it was pretty cool. There was some pretty cool stuff, right?
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you get a little bit spoiled when, you know, when the first snow flies, you just drive the truck over into the shop and change the tires out with all this big, you know, we had an industrial air compressor and welders and everything else, and so it was a piece of cake to do that, you know. And then you turn 19 and you're like, "Oh crap, where do I go to get this done in my truck? It's not like I got the shop to go into, you know."
So, right.
Anyway, there was some cool stuff for sure.
So, I don't know, did your dad put you on payroll when you were six, or did you actually have to work up to that?
I'm pretty sure when I was six, I wasn't on the payroll. I think my dad used it a little bit as, you know, like going to work and doing certain jobs at the construction
sure,
site
yeah.
or at the shop was how I earned my you know, allowance.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So right.
He would pay me, you know, $5 or $6 to sweep out the shop, and that was my, you know, allowance.
And when did you start, like, really working for the company as a, you know, skilled hand there?
Yeah, skilled I think is a stretch, but I started working you know, like, actively and really for the company as
sure.
a shop hand or as a yard hand, when I was probably 15, 14 or 15.
There you go.
And started, you know, the guys would go out with their, we'd have to load up the trucks, make sure that they had the right number of forms and stakes and the right, you know, finishing equipment, stuff like that, so that they could head out the next day and get their jobs ready. And then they'd come back with everything all messy and we had to clean it up, restock it, make sure it was ready to go the next day kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you grew up here in Anchorage, went to high school here in town then?
Yep, graduated from West.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
all
went
right.
To Rome,
yeah,
went
go
to
Eagles.
West. Yeah.
So you are finishing school here. Did you work in the trades once you graduated, or do you do something else?
So, you know, when I was getting ready to graduate, I told my dad, I said, "Listen, I'm going to take this summer off,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of explore who I am and sort of become me a little bit." And he said, "Okay, that's great." And that lasted for I got Thursday and Friday after graduation, and then I was to work on Monday. So,
wow. Our dads sound a lot alike.
You figured yourself out. It's time to get going. We got work to do.
Great. Right.
You know.
So you went to work right away.
I went to work right away, and as soon as I turned 18, I joined the laborers union.
Cool.
You know, it was like, in fact, I think it was that day or the next day. He's like, "Hey, I gotta have you on a job," and
nice.
Joined the laborers union and worked with them for the next 6 or 7 years.
Cool.
You know, going through college in the wintertime and working in the summer. So
nice. And so, did you do the heavy concrete? Were you driving equipment by then, or mostly did you do?
So still the boss's kid, right? So there's a lot of that. So I was actually usually at the job site. I was one of the first guys there, if not the first guy there, getting the equipment ready, setting up the sensors. At that point, we were using some relatively significant technology with the machines. We were running string lines, right? So it's not like they're doing now with GPSs and everything, but we were running string lines. I had to make sure that the sensors were set up appropriately. I'd usually unload the machine, get it to where we were going to start the job. I'd make sure it was greased, cleaned, you know, kind of ready to go. I would be there half an hour to an hour and a half before the rest of the crew got there, depending on what I had to get set up. We'd work all day, and I usually worked on the hopper. I was shoveling concrete, you know, things like that. And then at the end of the day, when everybody was done, I would stay and clean up the machines and make sure they were ready and set up for the next day.
Right on. Sounds like a good way to work your way through college. And
cool. It's a great way to work your way through college.
Figure out what you want to do.
You know, it did. There were times, right, when it would strain the relationship with Dad, because he was almost always there at the end of the day too, right? My dad's one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life, and actually all of my family are just extremely hard workers and really instilled a great work ethic in me, and I'm so grateful for that and proud of that. But you know, when you're finishing pouring, you know, I don't know, 400 yards of concrete, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody else has gone home, and you're standing there washing the machine off at the end of the day, and it's 11:30 at night, and your dad's going, "Okay, be here about 4:30 in the morning," and you're like, "Dad, I still need to eat dinner. I'd like to shower and maybe get some sleep tonight."
Yeah,
he's like, "Yeah, I get it. Probably better get after it."
Better start.
I'm like, from now till 4:30, there's 5 hours total, Dad, you know, and he was like, "Yeah, I get it.
So that's an interesting, because I wanted to ask you about expectations when you walk into a job like that. And now, granted, the expectations for the son of the owner may be a little different than the expectations for just a random new hire. But for those that might be listening to this podcast that are thinking about getting into construction as a career, what in your experience was some of the expectations for a new hire looking to start with a company doing the type of work that John Wayne Construction did?
Sure. That's actually a great question. First of all, my dad didn't actually own the company. It was my great uncle John.
Okay. All right.
My dad was superintendent for them for, 30 years, I think, something like
that. Gotcha. Okay.
So it was even more, you know, hey, we're doing this for the family, you know, kind of thing. But I think coming in, it's a great question, right? Coming in, you need to expect to not know everything you need to do, right?
Right.
You probably need to expect to receive a little ribbing, right? This is an industry where you're still going to get kind of jabbed and poked at a little bit, and there's a lot of camaraderie, but there's also a lot of that kind of pecking order, you know, that goes on. And you need to come in with the expectation that you're going to work hard. It's going to be hard work. Now, you can look at that however you want to, right? I used to look at it as, hey, this is my exercise program, right? Carrying concrete and buckets.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right,
110 pounds per bucket, and you get, you know, when I worked on the Eklutna Water Project, that's the pipeline, that's what I did, was carry concrete and buckets, and that was my workout program.
Right.
You need to show up a little bit early. You need to show up ready to work, and you need to have you kind of need to have yourself mentally ready to do whatever it takes to get the job done. It's one of the things I love about construction, right?
Right.
It's not done till it's done, and you can see when it's done, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now the great part of that is you can go back to it and say, "I did that. Look, I was part of that. I worked on that. You know, I'm so proud. I worked on the Eklutna Water Project."
Instant
right?
gratification is one of the understated upsides to this industry.
Oh, you can have so much pride when you've done it right, and you mm-hmm. know you've done it right, and it looks good, and you mm-hmm. can go back and say, hey, I did that, you know. But be prepared to work until it's done right.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for something that's, you know, 9 to 5, probably not your industry, although there are certain jobs that are like that. And the unions certainly have a lot of protections in place, which is great, right? I mean, that's good. So, you know, it's not like they're going to work you to death. Kind of, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, work you to death back in the 80s and with a family company, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think kids today need to worry about that so much. But it's a great opportunity. It's a great way to work your way through college if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a great career path, I think.
Sure.
Right?
If you want to be, I mean, to be, yeah, exactly.
I've heard this over and over in the last several months anyway, and I love it. It's you know, getting a trade is the other 4-year degree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, you can make great money.
Right.
You can work hard for it. You can build mm-hmm. these relationships. And at the end of the day, you can feel really good about what you're doing.
Sure. Can never be outsourced.
Can't
you
be
can
outsourced, right?
Earn for 4 years, have no debt. You know, depending on the program you get into, typically you're not going to accrue tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars that you have to pay over the life of your career.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you get in these apprenticeship programs. You know, my son was in the apprenticeship program with the Teamsters.
I'm so
proud of him. I mean, one of the bigger challenges, and if he's listening to this, I'll have to answer for that. But one of the bigger challenges was once he graduated from the program and got a job, because they helped him get a job relatively quickly, right?
Sure.
He started making so much money that we had to help him figure out what he was going to do with it, right? So
he's a different problem.
He's a 19, 20-year-old kid making way too much money. You know, I'm saying, holy cow, we need to help this guy make sure he doesn't get into trouble with this, right? And it's an ongoing deal. It's something that no matter what he decides to do, if he decides to get out of the industry or do something else, he can always have that to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say enough good about the construction industry.
Good. I mean, I am with you there. I've had a similar wonderful experience being a, you know, career in the construction industry in Alaska. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I wanted to ask you another question about John Wayne Construction. Were they members of the AGC?
They were. Yep, they were very proud members of the AGC, actually. That was great.
And why do you think they chose to be members? What were some of the advantages that in your you know, experience they gained from being members of this organization?
Well, so, you know, I'm not a construction company owner, so I don't know exactly why, you know, they necessarily made those decisions. But if you look at the AGC and the organization, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, mm-hmm. first of all, it's a member organization, so you get to be in an organization where your peers, your competition, mm-hmm. your collaborative, you know, folks mm-hmm. are all in the same organization. That always leads to better outcomes, right?
Right.
It always leads to synergies that benefit not only the industry, but the companies that are involved, the employees, the state. I mean, it's just a good organization. You know, today's AGC, and I didn't know any of the folks in the AGC back then, right? I was mm-hmm. I was too young to do that. But today's AGC has got some amazing leadership. Mm-hmm. It's got some great, dedicated, hardworking people. I mean, I'm just really impressed with the level of staff that are here and their willingness and availability to help us do our jobs better, to make connections for us that are meaningful, to give us the opportunity to be around other like-minded individuals, right?
Right.
And I think it's a great organization, and I really appreciate everything they've done for me as well as everything they're doing kind of for the construction community and for the state.
And for the industry as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Now, currently you're working for a different company than John Wayne Construction. And since I was asking about John Wayne's relationship with AGC, it'd be a good time to maybe transition into Zenith American Solutions, who's you're currently working for. Maybe you could tell us a little about them, and then, as I understand, they are also members of AGC. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
So maybe you could speak a little to why you thought it would be good to affiliate Zenith with AGC, and maybe explain a little bit about what Zenith American Solutions actually does in the construction industry.
Okay. So Zenith American Solutions is a third-party administrator, a TPA. And for those of you who don't know what that means, I'm right there with you. what it means is we offer administrative services for companies, and we help companies find solutions to lower healthcare costs, to lower their pension program costs, and then we also help them actually administer those benefits, right? We do work very heavily in the Taft-Hartley arena, so we work with the unions quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So our banks, benefit packages, things like that, we help develop, build, and then run for the trust funds and for the companies that we work for. We also work for private companies that are personally funded, that type of thing.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing right now. And the reason that we're part of the AGC is because there are so many great organizations that we can reach out to and expand our footprint in, right? One of the bigger challenges that we hear all the time right now is healthcare costs are out of control, right? Mm-hmm. Especially up here in Alaska.
Right.
I just saw a talk the other day that was pretty interesting. The healthcare costs in Alaska are actually the highest in the world, and they got to that by saying that the healthcare costs in America are the highest in the world, and the healthcare costs in Alaska are the highest in America. So that's
follow that, Matt.
It's a broad statement, right? And it's for me as an Alaskan, that's frustrating. I feel like we should be able to do better. Now I do feel like we've got some great healthcare professionals up here, and I think they deserve to do well. So I'm not bashing that. What Zenith American does is we come in and we look at ways to advance technology and lower some of those costs by using technology. They've got some great online presence tools that are available. The other thing that they're bringing up here, which I think is really cool, is they're bringing up some very high-level internet security for folks.
Oh, right? Interesting.
So there's some new regulations even for construction companies that handle personal health information or personally identifiable information. The ACA has regulations on that now because it's electronic that you have to abide by. And we actually have some programs that we can bring in and plug some of these organizations into to protect the individuals from cyber crimes and right. having their information stolen. So that's kind of cool. And to be able to bring some of these new services to Alaska, I love that.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I just love being the guy that's bringing up the new better options. Right. So
right.
That's kind of fun.
That is cool.
The AGC, then the tide of the AGC, of course, is I get to work with these great organizations. I get to go to the events and spend time with folks, talking about what it is that I do. And it's right down the pipe of, Taft-Hartley construction, industrial folks that I want to work with.
Right on. Well, I can say in my role as a business representative for the Painters and Allied Trades Union, I work closely with our TPA, our third-party administrator, In the respect that you provide a valuable service to the members of the union, who are, of course, the employees of the various construction companies, and tracking their benefits for their health insurance and making sure that their retirement money goes into the retirement account for each worker working for a particular employer. That is a crucial role, and it's something that is really valuable to keeping the industry running smoothly for everybody involved, employers, employees. And so in that respect, I'd like to say thank you for the work that you do and the other TPA companies out there. So,
absolutely.
One of the things that you said earlier I kind of wanted to circle back around on and throw a little bit of a curveball at you here, but you mentioned the importance and the value of having pride in your work, and particularly in, the construction industry in the field, although, we should all take pride in our work. But in the context that you were speaking of working in the field in construction, if you were going to be talking to, say, a younger person interested or considering a career in construction, and they asked you, what does that mean? To take pride in your work on a construction site, what does that look like to you, Skeet? How does that manifest itself in the day-to-day operation on a construction site?
That's a great question. So for me, it means doing more than you're asked. It means look for what needs to be done. Look for other things to do. On the job site, there's times, right, on the job site where there's downtime. And you don't have to sit around with your hands in your pocket, right? You could wrap up a hose. You could go clean off a board. You can pick up stakes. You can make sure the truck is full of gas. There's just 1,000 things that you can do, you know, but you have to look for it. You got to look for the extra work to do and then go do it, right?
Nice.
And you've got to find a balance, right? Because you can't be off filling up a truck when you're supposed to be there shoveling concrete, right?
also a good point.
Right? But kind of be aware of your surroundings. There were times where we were pouring concrete and we could see a storm was coming in, right? Well, okay, run over to the truck, grab the Visqueen, get it on the machine and have it ready to go because you know you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. Look for the ways to benefit the company that you're working for. Look for ways to make your union look better because you're there,
sure.
Right? Look for those opportunities and then do them. It's kind of the extra mile thought, right? Back in the idea that you walk an extra mile, right? Do more than you're asked.
Right.
But it's really even more than that. It's look for more to do, right?
Yeah.
Look for more to do. And trust me, on a construction site, there's always more to do.
Sure.
There's always more to do.
I like that.
That makes you very hireable. It makes you very desirable. There's the other thing. So there's the other side of this, right? So
right.
There's the guy that sees the rainstorm coming and starts complaining.
Gets his umbrella.
First thing, right?
Right.
Goes and grabs an umbrella,
helps
right?
Himself.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because the old construction guys, right? Like my dad, he would call those guys the cotton candy crew, right? He's like, because right. What, you're asking to melt in the rain? You know?
He's like,
so he was always, you know, he was always, that was kind of his thing. He's like, you know, come on, don't be that guy. Don't be the guy that's worried about getting wet. You're waterproof. Just go get the job done, you know?
You're right.
And then the other benefit to doing that, the other benefit to doing more than you're asked, the other benefit to going that extra mile, to finding other work to do is when you're done, you can be proud that you did, that you can be proud that you were worth what you were paid.
Well
put. You can be proud that you represented your union and your family well.
And your contractor.
And your contractor.
Yeah, well
right?
put.
Absolutely.
And yourself.
And yourself.
Yeah.
You know, in my case, the last name, you know, Black and then the Ballardis, I'm related to the Ballardis, that last name meant something.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if you did more than you were asked, which was pretty hard with that company, right?
Right.
Yeah. Then you were standing up to the family name. And it's that same thing. It's the contractor name. It's your name. It's your union brothers that you're making look good, right?
Right.
That's
well
anyway.
Put. I like that. My dad used to always tell me that he would rather I try to do something and do it wrong than to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
So if you're finishing a task on a job, you know, once that's wrapped up, you can put your hands in your pockets and try to disappear until the boss sees you and gives you another task.
Right.
Or you can go ask him or make sure you're lined out for the day or whatever it is. And that, you know, my dad was a bit of a perfectionist too. It's not like he liked things being done wrong. That was definitely
right.
not the point.
Right.
It was that he would rather that you try to keep busy and make the company money, be productive, earn
right.
your wage, like you're saying, than to just stand around and do nothing. That used to drive him nuts
right.
When we'd hire people and they would do that. I mean, never me, of course. I don't. I'm talking about other people.
Other guys,
yeah.
Right, right. Well, and the other part of that is then when you are done with the end of the day, you can look back and you can feel really good about what you did. You can feel really
sure.
good about the job you did.
Right.
And you don't have to carry that job home.
Right.
I mean, if you don't do enough, then you don't have that pride. You don't have that feeling of security. You don't have that feeling of, man, I really earned my pay today.
Right.
And then, of course, you're at home worrying about, you know, the next day and what else did I do and, you know, those kind of things. So I think
right.
it takes the heat off you a little bit, too.
Well, sure. And you're not worried that you're going to be continually the last guy hired and the first
right.
guy fired.
Because
let's
right.
not, let's just be honest and call it what it is. If you drag your rear end all every time, it will be noticed
yeah.
and you will be the last guy to be picked up and then you'll be the first guy to let go when the job winds down.
Right.
Why not be the opposite?
Right.
Be the one that the employer absolutely insists on having on the first guy on the job helping mob the thing, and the last guy demobbing it.
That's right. That's
right. That should be the goal.
And I'll tell you what, when you're sitting in the hall and your name doesn't get called, right, it's a lot better to have those contractors saying, hey, look, whoa, I don't care where he is on the list, this is the guy I want.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just a, and then, you know, then you got, that's another good feeling, right? It's like, oh man, they want me,
yeah,
you
of
know?
Of course, right. So. And I think that circles back in having pride in your job.
Sure.
I mean, that's one of the ways that it will manifest itself is that you'll be employed. Won't that be nice?
Won't that be nice? You're getting paid.
Right, right. And for all the kids out there, don't be on the cotton candy crew.
No.
That's the message of the day. If you take anything away from you, don't be the guy on the cotton candy crew. Melt in the rain. That's a good one. I got to remember that. So, well, Skeet, I appreciate your time. I had to be honest, I would be remiss if I did not at least ask about your name. So, the last thing, Skeet your given name, or how did that happen?
All right. So, first of all, I had the name before the song. Okay. So
okay.
let's just
okay.
be
duly
clear
noted.
With that. So my given name is Lester Black, and I'm
Lester Black.
My granddad was Lester Black. My dad was Lester Black. What's funny is none of us. Yeah, I love the name. It's a great strong name, right? But
sure. But
none of us actually went by our given name. My granddad was Jazbo. My dad was Blackear Jr.
Wow.
And I'm Skeet. So
where did the Skeet come from? How did we get that name?
My grandmother came up from California when I was 4 days old, and apparently I made a kind of a funny sound, as some sort of sound, and she said I was so small and cute I was her little Alaskan Skeeter bug. And that stuck. I don't know how that stuck. My brother was bullfrog, and that didn't stick, right?
Right.
So I'm not sure how it stuck.
There's no Alaskan bullfrog.
Maybe that's it, right? Maybe that's it.
Well, that's good. Well, grandmas have that magical power.
They do.
If a grandma gives you a nickname 4 days old, you better hope it's a good one.
Yeah. Well, and you guess what? Because you're hanging on to it.
You're stuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
you're stuck with that.
Well,
so.
Appreciate it. Skeet, it's been great getting to know you. It's been great chatting with you. I really appreciate your time and sharing some of your insights here with the AGC Build Alaska podcast.
Well, hey, thanks again, and I appreciate you allowing me to be here, and I do want to send a shout-out and a thank you to AGC. They've been very good to me. The people are just so excited and involved in helping us succeed, and I really appreciate that.
Outstanding. Well, have a great day, brother. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.